Education is a hot-button issue nationwide, and people can't seem to reach a consensus over the best way to educate American children.
But a recent report from a bipartisan group of lawmakers outlined some actionable steps that could be taken to level the playing fields for students across the country and at home in Wisconsin.
Alan Borsuk joins us now to talk about the report and what might need to change in order to provide Wisconsin students the best education available. He's a fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University and an education columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Alan, welcome back to Central Time.
Here.
Well, talk about this report. A bipartisan group of lawmakers, these are people from around the country. Bipartisan and education don't always go hand in hand, as you point out in your piece. But what were they trying to tackle here?
Well, the whole enterprise, which almost nobody tackles anymore. I think a few years ago there was much more of a sense of education being a bipartisan undertaking, and that's just not so true anymore. But this is the National Conference of State Legislatures, which is exactly that, a bipartisan group. And one of the leaders in the group on its education work is Senator Luther Olson, who is the chairman of the Wisconsin State Senate Education Committee and longtime legislator with a strong interest in education. So Senator Olson played a big role in this report. And it kind of calls, in my mind, for going back to a few years ago when there was more of a consensus on trying to raise the bar nationally, trying to get everyone to get on board, and some of it broke down over Obama issues, and some of it broke down over the Common Core standards, but it definitely broke down, so it's kind of a call to go back to that, in my mind.
And you reported on, there was a presentation, an event, a lot of presenters in Wisconsin. Set the scene for us.
Well, the Wisconsin School Administrators Alliance, which is exactly that, kind of representatives of a bunch of public school administrators, school board members, different organizations involved in education, hosted a group. It was pretty much an invitation event, although it wasn't exactly a closed event, in Madison, must be 2.5 weeks ago now, to look at this report. Senator Olson was involved in the session. They brought in a fairly well-known national think tank kind of guy on this named Mark Tucker, who has an organization called the National Center on Economics and Education, I think I got that right. National Center on Education and the Economy, that's what it is. And he was the keynote speaker. And he had a number of prescriptions for what do we do if we're really serious about teaching and reaching all the kids in the state. And a lot of them don't have to do with just the state budget and politics and money, which is what we spend so much of our time on around here.
And it seems like the main point, the first step, is a sense of urgency. And this report is titled No Time to Lose. And is that the attitude you're getting for people involved? Hey, whatever we do, we need to start doing something now?
I laugh only because, no, that's not really the sense you get from talking to people, especially in the political world and who are working on the bigger scene, or on community-wide politics. And that's especially true, frankly, when you're dealing with the highest need kids, and not only in the city of Milwaukee, but in a lot of the cities around the state and in a lot of the rural areas, that you say, hey, come on, folks, let's get moving. And you get a lot of talk, but not too much action. So if this report is aimed at building some urgency, personally, I think that's a call that should be listened to, but I'm not so optimistic that there'll be much response in the big picture.
You picked out some of the main themes from the report and from this meeting in a piece you wrote recently, and one of the things that came out of this is kids who only have basic skills are in deep trouble. Can you talk about that?
Well, this Mark Tucker, very interesting fellow, and he said basically a lot of kids nationwide, and he very much applied this to Wisconsin, are being put in line as far as the quality of their education for jobs that are going to be low-paying, not terribly secure, not really part of a thriving overall economy, including in Wisconsin, because they just aren't going to have the sophisticated tools. It's not just computer education. It's a whole involvement in problem solving and work skills and flexibility and a whole set of character traits that come with this. And that's what you're seeing in other countries in the world that are passing the United States or have rated above the United States for a number of years, and the most prominent international gauges of this, that their students are coming out of school just way more prepared for the future of the economy of the world than American kids are as a whole.
Talking to Alan Borsuk about his recent piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at some recent calls to action when it comes to education in Wisconsin and around the country. So, Alan, what do we do about that? If we're training too many kids with just that basic level of skills, and we've seen this in the news a lot, the job market is training those kind of jobs. If they're around, they're not going to pay very well. How can we change education to meet that?
Well, I think some of the things you'd hear from people, not only Mark Tucker, but others who are into this, doing more to ensure that kids are ready for school when they reach kindergarten. There are just so many kids who are not getting the early childhood experiences that could really benefit them and build character, build intellectual awareness. And we're talking about one-year-olds and two-year-olds and not just four-year-old kindergarten. So having kids arrive at kindergarten ready to be part of a school experience, knowing how to behave, knowing how to listen to people and I hear for this from teachers all the time, how off track their kids are, even at the kindergarten level. One is setting and really meaning high standards for kids, a little more ambitious than we've been in so many schools. And a third one, which is hugely important, is dealing with the future of teaching, the supply of teachers, the quality of teachers, the quality of teaching in much more meaningful ways than we've been doing up to this point.
You just listed three things there that are pretty huge. I want to take them one at a time.
Yeah, just go at it.
let's talk about arriving ready at school. So this is, you're saying kids, before they're even in the schooling process, are in some ways falling behind. You write that some of the experts say other countries are doing a lot better on this than we are in the United States. What do other people do differently?
Well, I think they have broader, deeper early childhood programs and more help to parents, more home visits, more involvement with making sure kids are on track. In a report from Mark Tucker's organization, he said in a lot of these high-performing countries in Europe and Asia, if the parents aren't going to do the job, the state finds ways to do it. And that's a pretty tall order. And obviously the best thing is if kids get really rich, good experiences as children at home. But there's so many kids that's not happening for, and it's not only in the lowest end of the economic spectrum. I mean, New York City, the mayor announced this week that they went to four-year-old kindergarten for all in the last couple of years, and now he wants to go to three-year-old kindergarten for all, which may be hard to implement, but it's a level of ambition that I'm not seeing in too many places.
And this is the United States. I could see a lot of pushback to this idea of schools, the government intruding further and further into families and parenting. Is there something about American culture that just makes that really unlikely?
Oh, I bet you're right about that. We're a country that prides itself on individualism and on the state not meddling, and that's certainly the controlling sentiment in Washington these days as far as the Trump administration. And I don't want to get too partisan about this, but my response would be look at the realities of the kids who are arriving at five-year-old or four-year-old kindergarten and how their reading scores are when they get to third grade or so, which is considered a huge marker. If you can read well by the time you're in third grade, you're on track to do well. Well, we have a really huge number of kids in Wisconsin who are not meeting that standard. I believe it's more than 50% of all kids in the state are not rated as proficient in reading at the third grade level.
We're talking to Alan Borsuk. He's a fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. He's an education columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
And you can join our conversation. What changes would you like to see come to the education system here in Wisconsin? If you're a teacher or an administrator, what do you think needs to change? Call us at 800-642-1111. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Right now, we're continuing our conversation about a recent report discussed this week by Wisconsin lawmakers that might shape future education policy in Wisconsin. Alan Borsuk is our guest. He's a fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School and an education columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think it would take to get more people into teaching? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Do you think that the state government, that schools should do more earlier for kids, starting with kids aged 3 or 2, maybe earlier, I don't know. What do you think the education needs to do to keep up with the times when it comes to skills kids are going to need to have good, reasonably stable, and well-paying jobs? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Alan, you were just talking about reading standards. That reminds me, another thing you mentioned was the need for high standards that some of these experts are citing. It seems like we've been trying to do that lately, right?
Oh, you make me sigh.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. No, I sigh because that's what the Common Core movement was supposed to do. If you go back 7 years or so, the whole Common Core initiative, which related to the ambitions and goals for kids learning, had two principles. One was to raise the bar, that we weren't aiming high enough perhaps anywhere in the country. And number two was to make it more consistent across the country. At that time, if you were rated as proficient in Wisconsin, that didn't mean you were going to be rated as proficient in, say, Massachusetts, which clearly had a higher standard. And you say, well, what does it mean if you're in Kansas or Louisiana or whatever? So the goal of this, which had very widespread report, much of it support, much of it from business groups, the National Governors Association, generally conservative organizations, the National Chamber of Commerce, was to do these two things. Well, then you get to actually having these standards. They become politically highly controversial, and then I'd even say toxic, and the whole movement seems to have kind of broken down. So that notion of raising the bar and having clear understandings, I just don't think it's as healthy now as it was a few years ago.
Let's bring on our callers now. Nate is with us in Middleton. Nate, hi.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to make three quick points. First of all, I'm an educator and I've been involved in education my whole lifetime, retired now. In the 90s, there was a strong push in a number of public schools to provide basically from infants to gate 12, an intervention on behalf of parents and young children, starting with notifying a parent as soon as their child was born that the school system was there and had some resources to help them, and that led to, of course, preschool programming, etc. That kind of went away, and I think part of it was political will. Another point was, during that era, after many years, there was a strong push to have reading specialists in every school system, and every school system had one. The recent gubernatorial action has taken reading specialists away, and that's really interesting in light of what the speaker said about 50% of the children having problems with reading.
Nate, thanks for bringing up those points. I want to bring Alan in on those. The idea is that something people are trying to revive, home visits, early contact between schools and new parents, Alan?
Well, I think there are some efforts like that, and I'm glad there are, and I know of some in Milwaukee where I live that are really well-structured and I hope having good impact. But they don't measure up to the breadth of the problem. Just look at the state of kids coming into schools. And I'd agree that there was schools had deeper staffs 10 years ago in Wisconsin, and this is true statewide. And reading specialists were one of the things that kind of went out as staffs were tightened up. Were they having as much impact as was hoped? Frankly, that depended a lot on what was going on in a particular school. So maybe some of them weren't having so much impact. But I think there was more push specifically around early reading skills, early literacy, and up to and through third grade a few years ago, including, frankly, Governor Walker had a task force on this in his first 2 years as governor, and you just don't hear that much about it. So I think there was more push a few years ago than there is now, and that's regrettable because the problem hasn't gotten better.
Nate, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to David on the line in Slinger. David, hi.
Hi. Yes, I agree with pretty much everything I've heard. But it's really a shame that teachers are almost vilified in our culture, in our society, when they are so important, and many of them get paid less than what we would pay a babysitter for the same number of kids for the same number of hours that they're sitting in there, and yet we entrust our kids to be educated by these people.
David, thanks for the call. And Alan, that reminds me of another point that you had alluded to earlier, the teacher pipeline, bringing new teachers into the profession, a cause for concern right now, is it?
Well, for sure. And it's a cause on two scores. One is there's already shortages in some specific school districts, and to some degree this is worse out in the more rural parts of Wisconsin than in the more urban parts. And there's shortages in specific areas especially, which would include high school math and science, bilingual education, special education. But a second point is that the total pool is getting smaller. Enrollment in teacher preparation programs at colleges is down nationwide. It's down a lot in Wisconsin. Many people around here point to Act 10, the great public union civil war of 2011 is a reason, which may be true, except that the numbers are about the same in a lot of states that didn't do this. So the supply is tightening up. Is it because teachers are being vilified? Certainly a lot of teachers feel that way. And there's reasons to say that, but, I mean, if you did a poll and asked people, do you like teachers, the answer would be yes, overwhelmingly. But are you doing things that show you really mean what you're saying? That wouldn't be so true, especially, you might argue, in the political realm.
Talking to Alan Borsak from Marquette University Law School, and he's an education columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at education in Wisconsin. Back to our callers now. Mary is on the line in Clear Lake. Mary, hi.
Hi. I just have a comment that I've been teaching 34 years. I love what I do, and I'm very into it, and I noticed that the rigor of the last 5 years with all the testing has really stressed kids out, especially in the early years when we don't get to have playtime in kindergarten. And I think it has affected the creativity of the student. I think that's always been the United States' big calling, is that we have creative problem-solving types of kids. And I think data shows that by sixth grade, even though we're behind in some areas, that it is a wash, and I think we need our traditional kindergarten and maybe education with the parents on just to teach the children how to sit at the table and have, you know, they're not coming in with those basic polite skills anymore.
Mary, thanks for the call. A couple points there. Do we crush creativity in our drive for high standards and accountability and measurement, Alan?
I bet there's arguments for saying that in places, schools where that's been true. That I would separate the two. Is it the rigor, or is it the testing, or is it both? I think it might not be the rigor, but it might be the demands that are put on kids and teachers to produce data, which I think there's some movement back from how much that's been emphasized, and I hope that's helpful. You know, when my first daughter was getting ready to go to school many years ago, I said I want her to work hard and I want her to have a good time. And I don't think it's impossible to have schools that do that. Frankly, we were lucky. I think that was the kind of school she was in. So to have that joy and creativity doesn't necessarily compromise having ambitious, rigorous programs. It's an environment as a whole. So I don't think it's impossible to do both.
Mary, thanks a lot for that call. Alan, I don't know if I've talked to you about this before, but back in the Tommy Thompson administration, when you had a big fundamental structural problem, the governor would appoint a blue ribbon commission, you'd call it, with academic experts and people in the field, citizens, I think, legislators, things like that. They'd come together, try to set aside partisan differences, and come to the plate and try to create solutions. Is that something that could happen in 2017?
Something that could happen. Certainly it could happen. I don't think it will. It's just not the way things happen now, and maybe that's regrettable. I mean, I'm old. I remember Warren Knowles and Patrick Lucy having big task force on state government, on structures of education. You go back a long time, and there's been a lot of task force, some of which were, of course, not very productive, but some of which really transformed major functions in the state, like the higher education system. It's such a non-bipartisan world, you know, having everybody work together is such a challenge. And this is, frankly, I think, true on both sides of the spectrum. So a good task force has to be really a broad range of people, and it's really hard to get a broad range of people working together.
Well, you were at this meeting, No Time to Lose. I mean, did you see people in this crowd who might be able to do something like that to get together and start tackling some of these ideas in a positive
way?
Well,
certainly the organizers hoped that, and there were Republican and Democratic legislators there, a handful, and there were business people there, people from the education sector, some foundation people and such. But they were mostly people who were bought into the premise already that we all ought to work together and really try to get back to focusing on what can make a difference in the success of kids. So that was 60 or 70 people. How do you spread that to a much wider audience? How do you get traction, as one of the organizers put it to me? And they certainly hope to, but I think it's going to be a big undertaking.
We'll leave it there for now. Alan, thanks, as always, for joining us.
I'm pleased to be here. Thanks for listening.
We've been talking about education in Wisconsin with Alan Borsuk, fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. He was with us to talk about education in Wisconsin. He's written about this for a long time at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.